Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. So today we have a mentoring session with John Feary, who's the co-owner and business partner of Stephen Adams, who owns Moxie. Welcome back, Stephen.
Well, thanks.
And hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, good. We're here at the Moxie Salon for a second mentoring session. I have kind of three areas of focus today, but we can weave our way to get to that point. It is a nonlinear kind of direction that we're going in. Okay, so I would like to learn more of both of your histories in how you, we covered a little bit of Stephen's background and his mad scientist years when he was younger, and his desire to be a business owner, and some of the ventures that he kind of started out, the wood, tablet?
Wood tablets for like notepads and stuff,
Yeah, when you went door to door and then you realized that's you're not going to be able to get any customers here.
It's just
it's a product
defeating.
That doesn't sell. Right. Okay. And so we'll be kind of dipping into your history.
Okay.
And the second thing is I'd like to understand some of the ways that you operate your business so that those who are running businesses kind of get an idea of what a competent business owner, how they run the operations side of the business. And the third is the false voice that a lot of us, you know, work on our whole life. Do we listen to the false voice or the inner voice that comes through? And how do we know the difference? When we talked prior to this, we discussed a little bit about this salon became kind of an ego-driven part as well as kind of a need.
Yeah,
and then as you developed it, it became more of a beneficial, as far as helping with cash flow and balancing once you got it up and going, between both salons, and you also seem to really enjoy the excitement of working with a lot of people, and so I would like to explore a little bit of. The direction that we're going, your internal self, your inner voice, how would you like to kind of shape your future if you were totally listening to that voice?
Okay.
So, because you might not have thought about it, you know, we can just have more conversations about that.
Okay.
So in our first mentoring session with Stephen, we focused on Moxie's vision event on November 15th, 2015. And you had expressed your beginnings stumbling into the hair industry. Your curiosity led to becoming a hairstylist. You were approached when you worked at a coffee shop because of your great customer service and your energy level. And your desire to kind of please the customer. So, and from that, you got a job interview and ended up working as a hairstylist and then eventually becoming a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to add?
No, that's pretty much it. Chaos.
So, Stephen mentioned at our mentoring session during the Moxie Vision event competition between the Minneapolis and St. Paul salons, that the purpose of the Moxie Vision competition twice a year is to really give the stylists an opportunity to be very, very creative and expressive and have an incentive to further develop their skills and their talents through education and a trip to New York. And it's also an opportunity for them to work with two other stylists in a three group and on two different models. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at how many, I mean, there were 22, there were 11 pairs.
11 teams, 22 models.
Right. I mean, that's a great, great big group. So how did you feel it ended up?
It was awesome. It was a really, really great, it was a really great event. Everybody was, you know, some people were joyous and super happy, you know, because our outcome was great. Others were a little bit saddened and disappointed, but at the same time, you could see that they all were, they all supported each other, which was the most important. Even the winning teams, you know, the winning teams were all supported even by the losing teams. And I think that's the whole point of it, is just like everybody worked really hard, pushed really hard, and they all hung out. And the coolest thing was, for me, I look at it as success. It as a success because afterwards we all went to another restaurant and we all hung out, and we've never had that large of a group of people come and hang out before at the end. Usually it's like just a smaller group. So it was, I think it was really good.
Team building exercise.
It was a good team building exercise.
Very good, which you'll probably experience the long-term results.
Yeah.
From that exercise, that
exactly that's the plan.
Right, when you try new things, you have some experiences with it that develop the team, and they enjoy working together more.
Yeah,
great. Well, Stephen had mentioned that his first year in business, he was really struggling a little bit with cash flow, and so the way to kind of manage his cash flow, he was not to pay his taxes for that 1 year. And then there was a penalty, and he was able to come up with the cash to pay for that. But what I was really struck with was your own intuition, realizing, you know what, I can't run a business like this, and I really need a business partner to help me out here. And so you guys have been friends, is that?
That's right, yeah. We met back in 1992.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Right, and shortly after I moved here.
Yep. Had interests in music and shows and whatnot. And he had actually met my sister in Uptown when he was working out at Horst Uptown. And he was looking for models, which we ask our stylist to do. And he's done it forever and found my sister as a model. And then we became friends after that. So
John was John was a good enough friend. He was, even was a model.
Yeah.
That is a good friend.
Yes.
So have you been, tell us a little bit about your history. Have you been in the hair industry prior to meeting
No.
Stephen?
Not at all. Actually, I've always been in the service industry, but it's always mainly been in the restaurant world. I come from a big family. I have six siblings. They all worked in the restaurants. We kind of take over those restaurants. All of our family would work there. So,
what restaurant was that?
Many of them. We worked at White Lily, Cafe Brenda, Rainbow Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Those are a few of them that we all kind of took over. So, everybody knew us. But, yeah. But that was something that I always feel comfortable working in the service industry and with other people. So it was somewhat of a natural fit. So.
And how did you get your business background?
Well, you know, my father and his father, my grandfather started his own business. It was a Fearing Manufacturing. They did. They're one of the third largest companies in the state, the United States, that did farm identification tags. So it was kind of always something in our family, this entrepreneurship history.
Is this in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, yeah, South St. Paul, down by the stockyards. Mm. And so, you know, my dad's always had an entrepreneurship kind of mentality. He always had ideas. He wanted to do all sorts of things. And they were very supportive of us kids kind of exploring our own, you know, ventures and whatnot. So as far as that goes, that's kind of inbred in me, that to, you know, go out and make something of yourself. But as far as school and everything, I didn't go through much of the college business end of it. I did about a year of college, and then after that I decided that I wanted to travel and work. And then had a great opportunity with Stephen to just take on this business venture. So
you decided to take a leap?
Take a leap. You know, that was something that I didn't have much responsibility except, you know, just, you know, take care of myself. And I've learned to live thrifty with traveling and whatnot. So I just saved some money, and I can save money quickly if I needed to want to travel or whatever. So I just took this money and said, hey, let's give it a shot. So it was really a leap of faith. And I felt like, you know, it was something I was willing to try, and if it failed, at least I tried. So,
oh, great. Yeah. So this was like in your early 20s?
I was 25 when we opened up Moxie Hair Salon.
Okay.
Yep. So before that, basically I stopped school at 20 and traveled around for 3 or 4 years, not all over, but, you know, did some different adventures and stuff. And yeah, so it was kind of time for me to, I feel like, do something else. So the restaurant world was fine, it was great, but I felt like I wanted something more than that. So,
and you not only joined Stephen, but then you also brought someone else into the business?
That's right, yep. Yeah, that was, it was, Mark, are we assuming we were talking about, or?
No, I didn't really talk.
Well,
your wife.
Oh, my wife.
But that's totally a different story. Yeah. That's a totally different...
Yeah. Jenny. Oh, her. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah.
That's a different story.
That's, that okay. is a different... Yeah, you know, so we Jenny did work at Moxie at one point. We were not married at that time. We were not dating. And then she ended up deciding that she wanted to try working someplace else. And at that time... We started to hang out, and then she came back and worked at Moxie, and it's been great ever since. So
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, we knew each other actually before in the restaurant world. If you know everybody, it's just like the hair world. If you know everybody in that group, you just kind of know them. So, yeah. So we know each other for a long time, and then now we're married.
This is just a little aside, too, because you've got two young kids now. What ages are they?
I got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, girls both. Yep.
Okay, and so when one of you is working in the salon, is one of you taking care of the other two?
That's right, yeah.
So you...
Yeah, it's been a good setup that way. We wanted to spend as much time with our children, and I had the flexibility with her. She's working part-time, and I could do some of my work at home, which was nice. But yeah, we wanted to be there with our kids, especially in the early years. So
sweet.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big adjustment, but it sounds like you were in a really good position to be able to accommodate that and not lose sight of the work that you guys needed to do.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody who has a newborn can tell you that it's just like, it's hard to, you know, stay focused and alert and all that. And it was a transition, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was really a nice opportunity that, you know, I could work out of home and do that. Now that I have two kids and a family, it's really, you know, changed everything in the sense of business and decisions I make, and now all these people that I'm responsible for. So
right. Yeah. Yes. That's a lot of people you're responsible for, you know, along with all those in the salon.
Yes. Yes.
We met. So tell us what you do here at Moxie.
So my title is Chief Financial Officer for our corporation, and here at Moxie, I basically handle the accounting, bookkeeping. I help out wherever I can in other areas. Stephen and I really communicate and work a lot together on deciding what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. So beyond the bookkeeping, I try to help out with human resources and just being a, you know, mentor, manager, coach, anywhere that we, you know, I can help out beyond the books, because I don't want to be just stuck in the books. I want to be, you know, understanding how things are working and how people are working together. So,
yeah, and that adds your level of curiosity and energy that you're bringing and insight into the numbers.
Yes. Absolutely.
To know how they all fit together. And
absolutely. And, you know, I think that my staff knows that I'm always working the numbers, but when I go talk to them and I, you know, acknowledge them for certain accomplishments, they know that I can see it in the numbers, but also, you know, they're just appreciative that I can say it face to face too and say, hey, great job, you know, not just sitting back here plugging in numbers and not being visible. So
yeah, that's really important. Yeah. So you have a connection with everybody and you're building the relationships.
Absolutely.
And they have confidence in when you're approaching them that it's not to reprimand them necessarily. Yes. It's really just to connect with them.
Absolutely. So we're big on coaching and coaching by setting goals and expressing, you know, happiness when they achieve them and encouraging them when they're close, even if they don't meet their goals, just to, you know, acknowledge that, hey, I see what you're doing. It's a great job. Keep it going. How can we help you grow? So,
have you had times in your business partnership where you were like not in sync?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Tell us about it.
Oh, God.
Well, it's been 16 years.
I know.
It's like marriage, you know, for us. You know, there's definitely ups and downs. You know, you try to be on the same wavelength, but, you know, there's personal life things go on. There's, you know, challenges that come up in the business that you're not ready for. You know, I just think for us, it just comes down to, you know, when we've made big decisions, generally is when stress goes up, when we open our second location, when we've done some remodeling, when you're relying on things to really work out, and it can be very, very stressful. So, and there's also sometimes the staff likes to play mom and, you know, who's mom and who's dad. So if they don't like one answer,
then they go to the other person.
To the other guy.
I see. You know, so you guys have to be on the same page in how you approach things.
Yes. Pretty much.
Do you guys have organized meetings, or is it like regular times that you meet?
I mean, it varies. Yeah. It depends on schedules and how things work. We try to meet, I mean, ideally, we try to meet at least once a month, but really we meet every Thursday morning in here for like an hour. It's like a crunch, but we do meet more often than that. We talk, but it's like consistently, it's not always exactly like on the dot. So, I mean, it's fluctuating, but we try to probably meet at least once or twice a month where we're like, sit down and just chow, you know, chew the bit and just figure out exactly where everything's going.
Yeah.
And then annually we try to sit down for a chunk of days where we can like actually just like plan out the next year and just like have a sit down, plan out what we're going to do, knowing that it'll probably change, but at least we have a sort of a plan for that upcoming year. So
sure. And you guys can plan accordingly then.
Exactly.
Right.
What you're doing and what parts you're working on with the business.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you guys have been in business for 16 years together, and you just mentioned that sometimes you've taken out the stress of running the business when you're trying out new things or when the cash flow is really tight and you're concerned about what's happening. You take the stress out on each other, and sometimes it sounds like it wasn't the most constructive thing, but somehow you've stayed together. What do you think you're doing that's helping you to stay in a good, solid relationship with each other?
I could say for myself, it's just being honest, you know. We've had challenges, but I think over the years, it's just making us stronger is just being honest, respectful, you know, just communicating, you know, not shutting down has been the biggest thing. You know, maybe sometimes taking a step back and take a deep breath and relax and then, you know, try to understand, you know, because it's not always about you too, you know. Sometimes, you know, you got to really listen to what they're saying, even if you don't agree with it. You got to be open. And so I think Steven's actually taught me that as a friend, honestly.
Well,
you know.
I was going to say you stole most of my words, so I have nothing to say.
Oh, so okay. That's yeah.
No, it's true. You know, I think it's like sometimes you just got to stand back. You got to chill. You got to like regroup. You have to listen, even if you don't want to listen to it, and just hear people out. And, you know, it just comes down to respecting that person, you know, that other person. It's just like any other life lesson. And yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot working with John because I'm not always the most patient person either. And I kind of like, I want everything my way. And John kind of is not always the most patient person. He wants things his way, but it's a really good balance because we're both very honest about everything with each other. And I think that's the key. There's no secrets, you know, we can't. The minute we start having secrets, then the trust is gone. And once the trust is gone, then at the top of the business, it trickles down to the rest of it. And I feel like that's the one thing that we can't have. We have to have everything just open and clear.
Yeah, and I think for me also, it's just been like at the acting, you know, like, you know, on fears of like, you know, taking this big jump, and I'm very conservative, you know, and it'd be like, do we really want to take this jump and spend all this money on this, or do we really want to make this big change in what we're doing, how we're running things? And they might not be the biggest things, but understanding that, you know, facing fear, you know, and Steven's taught me that, and just, you know, it's okay. And you know, we've made mistakes over the years, and we just learned from them. Lots of mistakes, but you just got to keep moving on. Yeah. And I don't think we'd be as strong as a business now if we hadn't made those mistakes. So, Very cool. Of course, I'd like to take some back, but for the most part, it's been good. Communicate. Right. So,
and so, how have you gotten on board with something that you haven't been, like when Steven approached you about opening up a second salon, were you totally invested in it?
I would like to say I'm always kind of 50-50. The conservative side of me is just like, I didn't know if we were ready. It seemed like a big jump because we had not, I felt like, filled our potential at our first location. I felt like we still had room to grow, but, ultimately, you know, I think it did turn out to be a good idea, but, just numbers, you can project, you can do the business plans. You can say, yes, we have this, 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 and it's going to produce this, this, and this. And you have a high, medium, and low, and I'm always thinking worst case scenario, low.
Yeah.
And then I start having fear and anxiety about it because I want to make sure that, you know, we don't sacrifice and lose our first business because of trying to grow. So, but, you know, we did it. And I think it was just timing has a lot to do with it, and the location and the right people, obviously. But, you know, It's a hard one to get by, you know.
Oh, well, it sounds like your practical approach,
yeah,
has really worked in your favor, because you also, through that, doing the worst case scenario,
yeah,
and one of the best case scenarios, and it's usually something in between.
Yes,
but through that process, you kind of get comfortable with how far you're gonna, you know, if everything goes to hell in a handbag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be okay? Is that kind of how you think about it?
Yeah. You know, it always comes down to like, well, if it gets down to it, what would we do? How far would we go? Would we not pay ourselves? Would we, you know, work the desk all the time? Would we, you know, what kind of sacrifices would we make to make it work? And we've done that. I mean, there's been times where you and I built
that whole salon out.
Yeah. I mean, we did a lot of the build out ourselves.
Wow.
You know, do I want to do that again? No. But you know what? It's what you do to build that foundation. And that's what we've done over the years. You make those sacrifices so that you can grow. So.
And you've got a higher vision that you guys were united in. Yes. And so the commitment to do at whatever it takes to get there is what you did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so your relationship has thrived.
Yes.
Through the process.
We haven't killed each other yet. So, no, it's doing good.
Well, in the November 20th publication of The Week, which is one of the best United States and international media magazines, where they give you a coverage of the stories for the week and how the media played the stories. And they featured Taylor Swift, who's now 25. And she has had issues as most artists do, about her authentic work and, you know, how to release her albums and what style, should it be to the country or the pop? And she has in mind how she puts the songs together. And in this brief article, she said that she used to watch Behind the Music of VH1 when she was really young. And she noticed that most artists failed because they became blinded by their own success. And she's quoted as saying, like, failed artists lacked self-awareness, which was the common downfall. And she promised herself that that's not what's going to happen with her. She's going to stay authentic. How are you guys staying authentic?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I kind of always look at, I'm going to go to a business term, the bell curve.
Okay.
And I feel like we've done this a few times, is every time that, because as your business grows, you reach a pinnacle or a peak and a plateau, and then it's, you start to drop a little bit. And right when you start to notice that, you have to reinvent something. You got to do something different with your business, something that's going to take you back on an upcline. At one point, it was, you know, we got started, but then we started doing hot steamy facial towels, and that changed our business. And then
that brought the revenue up?
Not really, but it changed the perception.
Okay.
Which then grew the business.
I see.
So sometimes it does just a little tweak, or something like right now it's refocusing on education, because we were focusing on, so like, you have to constantly look and try to reinvent the wheel. But it's like we changed the way we were doing education about 5-6 years ago to deal with more millennials. So because they want everything fast and quick and simple. But we found that wasn't helping our business. It was giving us less loyal employees. We found that it was giving us, like, the quality of work was dropping down. So we start to see that bell curve starting to turn again. So now we've changed our education program so it's harder. So it's more driven. So it's like focused on the beginning, middle, the end, and actually have a stronger career pathway for them. In the long run, I think it's going to make a stronger team. And once again, it's going to make that next climb. So we have to do, you know, keep moving like that to, like, keep growing.
Yeah. And it sounds, are there also, like, some of the people coming up are managing and taking on more responsibilities? Is that part of the bell curve up?
That's all part of it, is now getting it peer to teach the peer versus just always having to come from me or always having to come from John. Because what we're finding is we can't do everything. Mm-hmm. And also, if we're always doing the training, then it becomes watered down when we actually present to them or talk to them, because they see our face too much. It's like, oh, it's just Stephen. Ah, it's just John. But now we can start giving them stronger education. You know, it's like, you want education with Stephen, you got to make it through the first two phases. And then you can have education from Stephen.
Yes. So you're building, like, your credibility with the staff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And making but at the same time, it's building the credibility of the rest of the staff, because the rest of the staff are teaching the new people. So it becomes a system and a cycle. So, and what will happen, it will just cause things to grow
and expand.
Yeah.
Great.
Hopefully that answered your question. But that's how I see it.
Absolutely.
I don't know, John, do you have any other.
No, I agree. And, you know, I think for on my end, you know, with the staff and our clientele being aware of where we are as a business, is just being in tune and listening to what they want, what they need over the years of, you know, we always are asking our staff what they want every year. You know, do you want more benefits? How do you want to grow as a stylist? And hearing them and trying to grow, because they're all growing with us, and we want to grow their careers. So over the years, we've been able to add things, and I think that's important, just to be aware, not just be in your own world, but listening to your clientele, listening to your staff, and looking around you, and looking around and seeing, you know, what other people are doing and how to better yourself. So, you know,
excellent.
Being aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I'm thinking for our next session, if you guys are up for it.
Sure.
is
I am.
That we could
commitment time, John.
Oh no, I'm up for it. I'm
oh, good. It. Yeah. Okay, is that if we could build the infrastructure a little bit more with your stylus to see, you know, to formalize it even more?
Sure. How so? What do you mean?
Well, I have to develop that yet. I have to listen to this interview and go back and figure out how we can structure it so that we can kind of create something that would be beneficial for you as we go along.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it too off air until we got the structure right. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Sounds great.
Is there anything else that you would like to share about your journey so far that you think might be helpful for other partners in business?
I just have to say again, just, you know, listen to yourself, but also, you know, you gotta have a open mind working with others. Absolutely. It's very important. It won't work if it's just your show. You can't do it alone, especially in this type of business. And, you know, try to not do everything. Don't wear too many hats and, you know, do what you're strong at. And try to not do what, you know, like for a while there were things that I just did not want to do that I hated. And I made sure that I did get somebody to do those things because, just like anybody else, if you do something you hate, you don't want to do it anymore.
It's demotivating.
It is. Yeah. So just, you know, be honest with yourself and, work with your team and communicate.
Yeah. And if you're looking for, when you're opening a business and you're looking for something, find somebody who can compliment you. You know, it's like, you know, John, I take the high road of like creativity and like craziness. And John is the one who's like, wait.
Helping you grounded in reality.
Wait, let's get real here. This is, yeah, that sounds great, yeah, Stephen, but you know what? You got this to do it with. So how are you going to make, you know, and that's the dynamic that works for us is because I've got all these crazy, crazy ideas. And he's like, wait, tone them down. And then.
Because not all of them are implementable and all of them take some money to implement them in time.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing. He's really great at controlling the money, controlling the structure, and like making it all function. And that's the important part because that's the part that I suck at. Obviously, I paid my taxes to, you know, come up with, didn't pay my taxes just to like come up with the money for that.
I have no problem saying no.
Yeah. And I need that sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yep. So,
well, thanks so much. I really appreciate you being here, taking, a risk in sharing more of the intricacies of how you're running Moxie Hair Salon, and I'm sure it'll help a lot of people along the way.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.